Technorama episode 414. Hey, that's an area code for Milwaukee. For October 22nd, 2014, Dead AT-AT Walking!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I find some henchmen to carry out my evil plan?
Over there, in the media corner.
These are henchmen?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for October 22nd, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and anything we say it does. Well, anything related to geekdom. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, prepare for the insanity. If you're a returning listener, welcome back to the insanity. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am insane.
Was that the Hulk?
Yeah. I was turning green as I was speaking. I'm doing great, man.
Joining us in the binary studio is another leftover slice of something.
Hey, how's it going, hey?
He wants to sound like he's from the UP, I guess.
That's right, hey. Let me tell you, you dug me up out of the grave there, Chuck. It's pretty amazing. This is daylight, huh? Mike's had me trapped in the basement for all his time.
There's no basement in the Alamo.
That's what they like to tell you. Hi, I'm Brian Brown, by the way. So, yes, Chuck found me and said, hey, you want to come over? And I said, is there beer? And he said, yeah.
So, and that's good enough.
Pretty much,
I imagine you were on the side of the road with a sign, we'll podcast for beer. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. Actually, I said, we'll podcast for whatever.
Yeah, just so, period.
Just whatever, yeah.
So, we are using the old studio and the old staff. Apparently, I'm the only new thing around here.
Yeah.
Eventually, we are going to rewire this to fit this show and we get the video back online. But until then, we've got some other things coming up in this show. We have an invisible jet that flies. It sounds like what it sounds like. Semi-smartwatches. That means they're semi-dumb, too. And yes, the secret toy inside.
Geek Thoughts.
Mouse balls.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I'm figuring out this board, finally.
It's the size
of a small way, Chuck.
Yeah.
That Geek Thoughts, I don't think it's really relevant now, today, because all of them are like laser.
That's incorrect, Craig.
No, we were just having a discussion about this. Why I put this in the show.
So okay. I have a trackball mouse, and I've been using a thumb one for, and I've had it forever. And Chuck's better half was actually, not you, Craig, the other one, other better half.
The one who pays the bills.
Pays the bills, exactly. We were talking about it. She's like, is it, how old is it? I'm like, well, I bought mine originally off eBay. Actually, I bought two of them, and I have one sitting in a box waiting just in case the one I have breaks because I don't make it anymore.
So, Logitech?
Yeah, Logitech. As a matter of fact, Marble Man's.
Yes.
Delicious.
I thought those were cool.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Okay, that makes sense. So
yeah, mouse balls. Exactly.
Mouse balls.
Mouse balls.
I almost renamed last week's show. I'll give you that story. Offline. I don't think it's noteworthy on the air. Otherwise, we have to change the rating of this show. Anyway, we have... Oh, no, we don't have any feedback. Shame on you, listeners. I need one of those scratch noises like the record.
Or you need the...
It's kind of
wah, wah, wah.
I have it. It's on my iPad. Yeah. I haven't transferred all the sound effects in here yet.
How dare these people? I've been a loyal listener since episode 3, Chuck, and I couldn't even say it with a straight face. I'm sorry.
He hasn't downloaded it for yet.
Oh.
Yeah, what, you know what's the site again?
I'm just saying, the reason you don't have any feedback is because you keep dragging all these old slice people up, put them in the
I
show.
I thought maybe you guys could bring some feedback with you. Such loyal listeners.
Yeah, all...
We should hijack the feed next.
There you go.
Here, you want to listen to the same people? Here they are. Here they found them.
Congratulations.
Let's do the history thing. On this day in history for October 22nd, 2014, this is the 295th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 70 days remaining in 2014. It was on this date in 1746, the College of New Jersey, later renamed Princeton University, receives its charter.
And right. That same date, 1797, Andre Jacques Garnerin.
Didn't he make shampoo?
Yeah. Makes his first recorded parachute jump from 1,000 meters. That's 3,200 feet for those that are not initiated above Paris.
October 27th, 1875 saw the first telegraphic connection in Argentina.
Did they use Morse code or Morse code?
No comment.
Using a filament of carbonized thread, Thomas Edison tests the first practical electric incandescent light bulb. It lasted 13 and a half hours before burning out. Wow. Sounds like old laptop batteries. That was today in 1879.
And Toastmasters International was founded in October 22nd, 1924. And I think that...
Raise a glass.
Yeah.
Hey, I think Mad Marv's a member of that.
88 years ago today, J. Gordon Whitehead sucker punches magician Harry Houdini in the stomach in Montreal, precipitating his death. Dun, dun, dun.
Nikola Tesla was a very busy man today in 1927 when he introduced 6 new inventions. I call this one the fork.
The electric fork.
Including a motor with one-phase electricity.
Wow.
I didn't know that even existed, but leave it to him.
Now you do. And the Soviet Union launches Luna 12 on this date in 1966.
That is good, yeah. Another space milestone today is 1968. Apollo 7 safely splashes down in the Atlantic Ocean after orbiting the Earth 163 times.
That's a one. That's a two. three beautiful orbits. One more for the space books. A Soviet unmanned space mission, Venera 9, lands on Venus 39 years ago.
And it was in 1976, red dye number 4 is banned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration after it discovered that it causes tumors in the bladders of dogs. Dye is still used in Canada. I guess they don't have dogs up there.
M&Ms were never the same.
Oh, that's very true. And it's already been 6 years since India launched its first unmanned lunar mission, Chandrayaan-1.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to German astronomer and mathematician Erasmus Reinhold, born on this date in 1511.
And Estonian astronomer and astrophysicist Ernst
Opec. Opec?
You pronounce an umlaut.
Yeah.
And was also born today in 1893.
October 22nd, 1921 is also the birthday of Russian mathematician and computer scientist Alexander Kronrod.
Because... I've used the Cronrod algorithm many times.
Oh, of course.
What episode of Star Trek was he on?
He was a red shirt.
Yeah.
Former Mouseketeer Annette Funicello would have been 72 if she were still alive.
And attempted assassin of Gerald Ford and Charles Manson follower Lynette Frome turns 66.
Ah, Squeaky. Remember Squeaky Frome.
Oh, yes, of course. And rounding out today's birthdays, actor Jeff Goldblum is 62 today.
Ah, nerd. Finally, this is International Stuttering Awareness Day. I made it. That's all I can say. I did that in one take.
Excellent.
I think I stuttered up there. See, I'm doing it now.
Yeah, there you are doing it.
That's par for the course.
I was going to say, Craig, that's how you talk, I think.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for October 22nd, 2014. And I was corrected by Mr. Ben, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. He corrected me in that I said, you can always tell when the end of that song is coming up because it goes up a key. It did not go up a key. It goes up a register. It's in the same.
Yes.
It's just an octave higher. So that exposes my musical weakness in, well, one of them.
Well, and it shows that Ben is quite musically inclined.
That's why I love the people we have on this show, because they know more than me.
That's not a big feat.
Oh. Wah,
wah, wah, wah. I'll get the other sound effects in here sooner or later.
That hurts coming from me.
All right. Where is the reverb here?
Good news, everyone.
There we go.
Mm.
So an X-ray scanner. Craig, would you like to take this story?
Sure. I'll take that. And so I've had a couple of these in the past, a couple of little toys you get from collecting, you know, like the little stickers or whatever off the packages, sure, and you mail them in. I got, not IG-88, the, what was the name of the bounty hunter action figure from Star Wars with the lizard
Fisk,
looking?
Fisk?
Ludfisk?
No, yeah, it's Ludfisk. It's kind of jellied white fish. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It smells like ammonia.
So this is something similar. So here you go. This guy, it starts off saying he wanted, he wanted a Boba Fett, but he got to settle for Palpatine.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good. Excellent. If that sentence doesn't make any sense to you, you probably wouldn't have much sympathy for UK toy collector Dave Moss.
Well, if that sentence doesn't make any sense to you, why are you listening to this podcast?
That's right.
Yeah.
And about 5 years ago, Moss bought an unopened box that contained a Star Wars figurine, part of a toy giveaway in the late 1970s, the BBC reports. Moss hoped the box contained the most coveted figurine, one of the beloved Boba Fett characters with a firing rocket. Remember, they took those off the market because kids were choking
on
them.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah. It says it's worth about $8,000. So Moss didn't want to open the white box. He wanted to figure out what was in it. So he took it somewhere and had an X-ray. Turns out it was Palpatine.
Never remove from box.
Wait a minute. Oh. If it was in the late 70s, we didn't know who Palpatine was.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Ooh, plot complication with this story.
So the BBC needs to go back and report again. Because, you know, we didn't know about him until, what, 82, 3?
How did he find out what was in the box?
He had to open it.
Yeah, so Moss didn't want to open the white box. The figures were originally shipped in to spoil the value. So the editor at Collector's Gazette helped him out by bringing it to the University of Nottingham. Alas, the university's most advanced X-ray micro CT scanner, which normally studies plant roots.
And sounds evil, like a good substitute for me.
Yeah. It's a good use of this device. Yeah,
revealed that the figurine was the evil Emperor Palpatine, worth maybe $50.
So he spent more on this X-ray process than the toy was worth.
Did he pay anything for this? I mean, I don't know.
I got a buddy who runs an X-ray CT scanner.
Hey, man, you want to get that box scanned?
Well, hey, the guy did. Yeah.
I'll give you half.
The guy did pay. It goes on to say that he only paid about $8 for it. So.
Okay. So it was probably a garage sale special.
Or just threw it in the trash. Dang it.
Man.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though. I never thought, well, like I said, I remember getting the bounty hunter and
it's Bosk. That's who it is. Bosk.
That's right.
Yeah. I had him too. I did the same thing. I sent away for it and got a Bosk.
Yeah. You had to get like the little proof of purchase off so many packages. Yeah.
Yeah. I did that. And I also, I had all my Star Wars figurines and I, in one of my classes, you know, I was like, what, sixth grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. I made a jacuzzi for all my figures. It was awesome. It was, you know, you know, they had enough so I could put a couple figurines in there and they'd kind of hang out, have beers, you know.
With the slave Leia's?
No, this is the first gen or second gen of characters, you know. So, yeah. That's cool. It was pretty fun. Yeah.
Hop in with your robes there, exactly. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan had to take his plastic, cowl thing off. You know?
Oh, no. I don't want to envision undressing the figurines. Thanks. Let's move on.
Hey, you too.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you this, too. I won a contest. It was, I forget what magazine it was. I want to say it was like Pizzazz Magazine or something like that.
Teen Beat?
But it had a Buck Rogers. What?
Teen Beat, maybe?
Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat, you know, something like that?
Tiger Beat. No, but it had, because after I tell you what the picture of what was, you'll know. It was of Buck Rogers. And it was like a drawing. And then there was two pictures. And you had to tell all the differences.
Gil Gerard?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Back, I'm talking like late 70s, like this article said.
You didn't want Wilma Deering, you wanted Buck Rogers. Craig.
Wait a minute. No. This is my story, man.
sorry. Continue, please. I'm sorry.
So there was a drawing of Buck Rogers. You had to look at the other picture and figure out the differences. All right.
Okay.
You just circle them and stuff. I sent it in. I won $20.
Kind of like Highlights magazine.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
find,
like
find
those
the
things
banana
in Highlights.
The tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Buck banana Rogers. Tree.
So anyway, I mailed it. I won $20, and I went and bought the snow speeder from Empire.
Oh yeah, I had the troop carrier.
That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that has the.
I didn't have any Star Wars toys when I was a kid.
Wow.
Family of nine couldn't afford anything.
We're lucky to have shoes. Didn't love you.
Yeah, I was gonna say my parents loved me. Obviously, yours didn't love you. I mean,
there were nine
parents
of us.
Didn't love you. And you should feel
thinner,
bad.
It was just a thinner slice of love.
Exactly. Sorry, all we have to eat tonight is a grass soup.
No, Chuck had tough love.
Minus the soup.
Exactly. You have grass.
And it was winter.
It was tough love. That's what it was.
Brian, would you read the next story to keep the show moving along?
Oh, yeah, you bet. So these days, only people going for the ironic look would consider a gold digital watch. Yeah, that's the way to spruce up your outfit there, folks. Imagine, you know, that 70s digital watch just in gold or maybe silver, you know?
I had a silver. That one on the left side?
I know, exactly. I had actually a silver one as well.
And I've taken it apart numerous times to the point where it wasn't water resistant anymore.
But remember, back in the 80s, those were cutting edge and
rocking.
High style. So, I mean, so Casio is bringing back a small collection of its swankiest designs. Yeah, in gold and silver for all you hipsters looking to complete your... compliment your spats. I don't think spats were in the 80s.
How much are these?
That's a good question. The silver version, just $30. That's not bad. $30 for a digital watch, really? Well, the gold model runs between $40 and $65.
Which is about what I paid in the 80s.
I know, I was going to say, what's it, 80s prices? As far as functionality goes, watches are only smart in terms of style, of course. They are dumb watches. Not like your watch, Chuck, which is fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He was complimenting my Pebble watch.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. He's like,
I love a Pebble.
It was like, he was like Dick Tracy also. And he's like, Craig wants to know something. And I was like, whoa, look at that. And then his wife goes, you can't answer him back, can you? Chuck's like, no.
Hey, on my watch, I can.
Ooh, look at that.
Craig's abandoned the Pebble camp.
Oh, yeah. Where are you at, Craig?
I've got an Android Wear. Watch. Oh, okay. It's the LG G watch.
Have you loaded Windows 95 on it yet?
No.
So for these watches, these digital watches, you get the basic time and date functionality, an LED backlight. Ooh,
so you can see it at night.
Exactly. A single alarm and a countdown timer and, of course, a stopwatch.
That's what I had.
Yeah. So did I. I had the exact same one. Of course, there you go, folks. If you want to live in the 80s once again... Casio's got you covered.
I am.
Wait a minute. You know what? I went to Walmart. You could buy one of these for like $20.
I am really tempted to get one of these. This is crazy as that sounds.
I've got one. I'm telling you. I went to Walmart a few years ago before I got the Pebble watch, of course. And I got one. It's water resistant. It works great. It's just like this. The one on the right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Right. Left.
I've only owned about 5 watches, and that was the one that got me through high school and college.
Oh, yeah, and you I had the silver one because I had that flexible band, and it would catch the hair on my arm. You're like, oh!
No.
It was that kind of band that folds back on itself, and the little hook that supposedly clips it, if I would hit something with my wrist, I could pop that thing open. It was ridiculous.
Just what Brian said, I hate... when the thing would pull the hair on my arms.
Man.
That's why I go for anything.
Oh, that was like the Twisto Flex.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
From Spidel. That was supposed to be their revolutionary wristband that, ripped the hair out of your arm.
Just to control the hair on your wrist.
So then it was an epilator.
Epilady.
Yeah, an epilady. It's the Scottish version.
Quick check to the birthday calendar as we cruise mildly through this show. We have October 22nd is Zach, ZML 2008, happy birthday. October 25th, we have four beautiful birthdays. October 25th is Mad Marv, spelled K-Y-L-E, but it's pronounced Marv. Hope that makes sense. October 25th is also Human Shield. Brit on Tour, a.k.a. Jason and Scott from Minneapolis. Happy birthday to all of you. One final birthday we have is Dylan Licata, I believe, from San Antonio. Happy birthday. If it's your birthday this week, happy birthday to you. We wish you all the best. And if it's not your birthday and you want to get on our birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name down there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year because we love you and we want to acknowledge your existence and
your love.
Trip around the sun.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Trying to make it sound sincere. You guys are screwing it all up.
Hey, I was going to say, you may want to move that break down a little bit.
No, it's 20 minutes into the show, man. We're about halfway through.
Okay.
I got to pee anyways, you know.
You had the break. You had a breakdown. I moved it.
Did they say he just has to pee? Did this man say that? Go ahead.
We are going to take a quick break right now. We will be back with, oh my, the invisible jet that flies and some crazy stuff that people did somewhere. Because that's the way Technorama is. Be right back. Strange units of measure.
This is very bizarre.
Go is 180 millimeters. A pack year is a cigarette consumption based on one pack a day for a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
A nibble, typically 4 bits of binary code or half a byte.
Now, I knew that one.
Score, that's 20 of something. A hand, 4 inches of horse height.
Now, wait a minute. So you measure a horse in hands. Do you measure a donkey in butts?
No, a donkey is an ass. A TWIP is 1/20th of a typesetting point.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
This is TWIP, this week in podcasting.
Don't forget about a thrave, which is 24 sheaves of wheat.
Bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves.
A shake is 10 nanoseconds.
Yeah, that's like when you're going to detox.
Look, they're shaking at this certain 10 nanosecond frequency.
Yeah, whatever.
A Mickey is a ratio of computer mouse movements to on-screen cursor movement.
Knew that one.
A Jansky is a strength of radio signals from space.
Long time ago.
A butt is 2 hogs' heads or about 126 gallons of boo.
I didn't know that one either.
And smoot is a measure of length developed by some MIT students equal to 5 feet 7 inches, the height of Oliver R. Smoot.
It'll be over in just a moment.
Hi, this is Gil Gerard, and you're listening to Technorama.
Couldn't let you go on that one, buddy.
Yak it up, fuzzball.
We couldn't get Aaron Gray, but we got Gil for you at least, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'll take him. Whatever.
So, Brian, that was clips from a former show many, many moons ago.
For the measurements.
When we used to talk about something interesting. Now, how many of those did you recognize?
Quite a few of them, actually. You didn't have Cupid in there, though. I'm kind of surprised.
They got more bizarre as they went on.
Definitely.
The Janky and the Smoot.
I knew the Smoot, though. That's the kind of funny thing. It's like, I actually know that. Wow.
And now my daughter, Julie, knows that. Yeah. She goes to the MIT of the Midwest, Michigan Tech University, and she can take crazy facts like that. We also had a story on there when she was on a regular part of the show about colleges that would make rules. And I said, oh, if you go to a college, make sure you leave with a rule that you know, somehow created.
Yeah.
Right. Like the college that now has a rule about no motorized couches on campus.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
I said, that's your goal, Julie. 4 years, you should be able to attain one rule that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But just
creates a rule.
Be the cause of a rule, you mean.
Yes, be the cause of a rule. All right, we have, this is an Emperor's New Clothes kind of story. Craig, you can have this one.
Oh, really? Okay, hold on a minute. Let me get it back. I wasn't paying attention. Okay. So, this family, they decided to put together the invisible jet, which is a new kit from Lego.
I love the picture on the box. Nothing. Yeah. It's like a picture out of Lost looking out to the ocean.
3,200 pieces of nothing. That's the best part about it.
If you scroll down a little bit, the only things you really see is there's a Wonder Woman minifig kind of
that
split
needs to be
there.
Put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some other little few pieces. So this is what 3,200 pieces look like.
Uh-huh.
And there it is.
Very clever.
So, yeah. Anyway, really, it's more or less an exercise in photography here where they put together they show the instructions.
The instructions. There's arrows pointing to nothing.
Yeah.
Arrows pointing to
sure
nothing.
Make sure you connect this to that, whatever that is.
Then there's a picture, a nice picture of the family holding. the finished ship. And then down below, you see the Wonder Woman just floating in space, sitting there.
That's very pretty nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
Here she is on display. Beautiful. We hope you enjoyed the following along. Yeah, that is outstanding. Now, my big question is, I wonder how much they'll get on eBay.
I'm going to put my kids through college.
No, you know what's worse is when they take the kids take this thing apart, you don't see the Lego pieces on the floor and you step on them.
Oh!
You don't even see it coming.
Nailed it.
Daddy, you stepped on the invisible jet.
Oh, remember the good old days? You know, back in the old days, you would think things were bigger. We had bigger boom boxes for our music. We had bigger
cars.
Bigger cars. But bigger, yet...
Oh, we'll stop right there.
There was something in the 30s that was actually smaller and quite interesting of what we don't have today. In June 1930, issue of Science and Invention magazine featured this amazing little pocket projector.
Is that a
pocket projector in your pocket? Never mind.
Are you just happy to see me? Yes.
But much like the other small handheld gadgets of the time, it was pretty impractical given its battery needs. From the Science and Invention, a complete pocket-sized motion picture projector has been introduced in Berlin and has become... Leave it to the Germans. Has become very popular there. Current is supplied by a battery that fits in the pocket and will permit enough current to be drawn, therefore, to light the lamp of the projector for 200 exhibitions. After this, the battery must be changed. The pictures can be projected as large as a picture frame. And novelty itself sells for a whopping $5, which is what, 3 weeks' wages? In the 30s.
Somewhere in all of this, there's a Matrix joke. I don't know what. Copper tops. It's the Germans. Yes, anyways.
Notice that they call it a novelty. And perhaps the most important question, given its size, how long could the film inside be? It's like a vine from the 30s or something. That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah. It looks like just a little coil.
Well, if you think about it, we do have that now. Not necessarily a projector, but you know, we look at the videos on our phones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this was ahead of its time. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, remember, I think you mentioned earlier that something we don't have today, but remember, I'm sure remember who it was. It was on Geek Cred, Steve Rickyberg's live show at Dragon Con, and he pulled out a little projector about the size of his phone and was showing pictures up on the screen.
Oh, those are cool. I really want one of those. Yeah.
So we do kind of have those today.
Yes, we do. I've seen many a PowerPoint on those.
I'm wondering how many batteries it took, like a car battery, entire block.
Well,
of people,
in the 30s, I don't think they had
batteries.
They weren't standardized, so
he probably had like a battery, like Tony Stark did when he first got the electromagnet.
He's got to carry the car battery. Yeah, right. I'm good. No problem. Just running my little pocket projector here.
Here, let's show you about 5 seconds worth of video. Oh, it's all good.
This is good for 200 showings.
of 3 seconds each, right?
You know. Yeah.
Now, while we're in the remember when, Craig, would you like this next story? Have you seen this or should we pass it over to Brian?
I think Brian should handle this.
All right.
So this is really, I think it's really cool, actually. When people restore old typewriters, they mostly just make them, one, look new, of course, and usable again, of course, clean them up. Now, Joe Hounsome from Plymouth University in the United Kingdom, however, had other ideas in mind. He took one and upgraded it to make it connect to the internet. Think about that for a second. A typewriter that connects to the internet.
Retro.
Very retro. Can you imagine... the reams of paper you'd have to go through.
It kind of reminds me of the old days when you had
a
deck writer, only this sucker is like the letter quality version.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be kind of cool to hear in the background, wouldn't it, in your office?
Oh, yeah. I could just get into Twitter at 2 a.m. going, you have a direct message from Brian Brown.
Yeah.
Whack, whack, whack. On your printer.
So very specifically, Hausam's device called the Disco, D-I-C-O, Dico, I think, actually, probably.
Careful.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Connects you to a random person from a chat room. So what it does is it basically starts looking for a stranger to talk to as soon as it basically ultrasonic sensor feels you approaching.
Okay.
So another person's message are processed by an Arduino microcontroller, which can controls the solenoids. It pulls down the keys to the typewriter.
That's how he did it.
Yeah, basically a piece of paper serves as the device's screen, and a reply you need, of course, type on it. Boy, this would kill people who have never used a real keyboard.
Oh, the finger strength you need to push those things down like an inch. Yeah, the video is kind of cool where it just...
So it's like chat roulette with a old typewriter?
Yeah, what if you get a porn room or something? Stranger asks, what are you wearing?
Yeah. ASL.
Stranger asks.
That's what it says in the video. It says, hello, stranger. It says, hello, what is your name? My name is Bill. Hello, Bill. Stranger says, hello, Bill. It's like an adventure
game. It's like
game,
Eliza. It's like Eliza
game. It kind of is.
I was going to say, it would be cool if you could play Zork on this.
But there's a couple of lights off to the side that tell you when to redo the carriage return.
Okay.
And when you're ready to type. So it says advance paper and reset the carriage are the two basic LEDs. And it says press enter when you're done doing this. And the video shows this guy doing the conversation for quite a while. I mean, it's in a way, it's kind of creepy, kind of witchcraft-ish. I mean,
yeah, I can imagine.
You don't think of it, but the keys are moving by themselves, which is just spooky in itself.
So here's the interesting thing. He won an IBM Smart Planet Award. The company thought it demonstrated the technical qualities and imagination required to help make the world a smarter planet.
IBM did?
Yeah, believe it or not.
It wasn't even an IBM Selectric typewriter.
I know. You think that they'd be like, no, you're out. Get out.
Nope.
So, I would more or less argue this is more of a piece of art.
Well, here's the interesting thing that you could probably use it for, as they talk here, encrypted messages. Oh. So that way...
great. Another Enigma machine.
I was going to say, let's hook it up to the Enigma.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you could decode it, you know, with a book he made, basically. So you could do, you know, basically Enigma. Exactly. You have a passphrase book, and of course, you know, you're getting garbage up, but it means something to you. Kind of interesting, though.
Get the Navajos.
Yeah, get the Navajo. It's the new code talker. Wow.
That is pretty cool.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Craig and Brian, you've seen Jurassic Park, right?
Oh, many times. Saw it in the theater when it came out.
You know the scene where they're flying in the...
What movie?
What movie? You know the scene where they're flying to the island and they're introducing Jeff Goldblum and...
Is Will Smith in that one, right?
No.
Where they get aliens and Apple computer, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
So a musician has taken Jeff Goldblum's... It's his birthday today. I mean, 22nd.
It is.
You know, so it kind of ties in. We almost have a theme to this, you know, with the Gil Gerard hook and the Jeff Goldblum
thing.
Wow,
look at that.
Someone might have planned this one. But the laugh he does when he's introduced, so you guys like dig up dinosaur bones and stuff? And... You know, the retort something like that. And he gives this crazy laugh that is probably the worst bit of acting I've ever seen. He's like, it sounds like something off of Bugs Bunny or something. Well, a musician has taken those tones and put them on a musical scale so that you can play them on any instrument. It's outstanding. It's
Wow.
But my favorite part is not so much the article, but the comments that are below. Things like, the internet was so preoccupied whether or not it could do that thing, didn't stop to think if it should.
That's usually the problem with the internet.
The internet finds a way.
I like some of the internet. Some of the internets just want to see watch the world burn. I like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
and then there's another one down here. What was it? This is Unix-based internet. I know this.
Yeah,
I knew that.
Clever girl.
So the comments are just as good. You can find that if you go to the show notes on our website and learn how to play that. I wanted to include the audio from that video clip, but did not have the time nor the strength to do that. As I gave blood today and have been feeling a little lightheaded, so
cookie,
naturally
man.
We do Technorama when I'm feeling lightheaded, which makes total
perfect
sense.
Perfect, why not?
All right, yeah. A boy writes to J.J. Abrams on a math question and actually gets a response. I think this may have come from last week, but...
Too bad he's a filmmaker and not a mathematician.
No.
I don't know, dude. I failed algebra.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams is making Star Wars Episode 7, as we're all aware. He rented 3 speeder bikes, which was 700 Imperial credits to start. Okay, this is the boy's letter.
Okay.
He said, a kid named Cody recently asked J.J. Abrams a Star Wars-themed math question via the power of social media, and when J.J. heard about the question, he decided to send the kid his answer. So the kid's question is, J.J. Abrams is making an Episode 7. He rented 3 speeder bikes, which was 700 Imperial credits to start. He must pay 100 Imperial credits to keep his speeder bikes daily. If he does not pay daily, Prince Izor and the other Black Sun members will kidnap J.J. Abrams, bring him to Mustafar, and sacrifice him. J.J. Abrams is also... Of course, there's extra data in there to try and throw you off. J.J. Abrams is also paying 5 bounty hunters to keep separatist spies out. That costs 200 Imperial credits to start, then 50 Imperial credits for each bounty hunter every time they capture a spy. The separatists send 2 spies every day. In how many days does J.J. Abrams spend the same amount of Imperial credits on speedsters and bounty hunters? All right. That's a fairly good algebra question, right?
So J.J. Abrams was flying south on a speeder at 15 miles an hour.
Leaving Chicago. Leaving Chicago on a speeder.
Right.
So he writes back and he says, "Dear Cody, it took me a while, but the answer is 2.5 days. However, if I needed to hire passage to the Alderaan system at a rate of 17,000 credits a day and had to travel 12 parsecs at a velocity of, hey, at least you used parsecs in the right context.
Yeah.
Parsecs at a velocity of 1,500 times the speed of light, which, wow, that's incredible. How much would that cost me? This, I think, is the real issue here.
Nice.
Great.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
And by the way, the Star Wars Episode 7 was delayed a few days because he had to stop and answer this question.
That's okay. He just filled with lens flares. We're good.
Yeah. Post-production.
Yeah.
That is pretty neat, though.
Imaginative kid. That reminds me of the story we did about the one who owns the Enterprise because he got the autographs of William Shatner as Captain Kirk and Captain Picard on the right piece of paper, like as a title transfer to a car.
Yeah. That's right.
I own the Enterprise.
Yeah. It was Patrick Stewart signing it over to this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was pretty funny. All right. We have a geek library and just a footnote in here. I saw this and laughed and laughed. This is a screen image like you see
on the notes left in here.
Damn you, autocorrect. You've seen those.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Brian, can you do a decent Thor?
Man of iron, I have taken possession of what Midgardians refer to as the cellular telephone. It is most exciting.
Oh, my God, Thor. You sound like Steve when he first got his phone. How'd you even get this number?
The one named Pepper gave it to me. The patriotic one has this device as well. I must include him on this list of... What?
Oh, it's on the next
list of associates.
Yeah, meat swing. Rogers has one too. Everyone has one.
Man of iron, we must put this conversation at a halt for the green angry one to show me something most exciting. When used properly, different symbols of your world's English alphabet can form the likelihood of faces.
Yeah, good to know. Thanks.
Behold, I am smiling. Smile again.
Yeah.
And again.
I get it, Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, got it, Thor. Yeah.
There's actually somewhere out there is superhero tweets or text conversations between
Star Wars ones too.
Oh, the Star Wars ones, yes.
Star Wars ones are fantastic as well. But some of the superhero ones are great, you know, especially when you get drunk Iron Man. And of course Hulk, of course, then his, you know, my Hulk smash,
yeah,
you know, sort of things.
He must go through cell phones fast.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Can you imagine trying to type with those big mitts of his?
He's got an iPhone 6 now. He's okay.
It bends, so it's
okay,
he's cool.
Siri.
Oh, yeah.
Bing, I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Actually, I was thinking back at that typewriter. It'd be cool if you say, Siri, type this out. And
insert type. Hook it up to a smartphone.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, Google.
I like every once in a while. My buddy and I had our two iPhones next to each other, and they happened to be plugged in and charging, because that's the only way, which just seems like a dumb feature, the only way you can do the Hey Siri thing.
Right.
Because when do you really need it? When you're out and about, not plugged into anything. But anyway, we're sitting in the office, and
my Android phone does that, by the way.
I know you Android people suck on that feature. I said, the boss comes back in the room. I said, "Hey, Heath, look what we can do." And I said, "Hey, Siri, call my wife." Only his phone was listening too.
Oh, so.
And I hadn't set mine up to call my wife. So his starts calling his wife and he goes, no, stop. I said, "Hey, Siri, what time is it?" And it totally borked up the sentence. It's like, I don't know. His is a female Siri and mine's a male Siri. So they sound, and then they start talking to each other. Great feature there, buddy.
Dueling Siris. That is dueling pretty awesome.
Would you like to go out for a date?
No, thank Great. You.
Now we don't have phones at all. They're out on a date.
our phones just left.
That's funny. They started talking to each other, you said?
They did. I don't know where the conversation went.
Do you like my voice? Yes, it is very lovely and mellifluidless.
Maleficent?
Maleficent.
That's where the series started messing up.
Exactly, at that point.
They don't do so well. You're familiar with, in iOS 8, we now have an autocomplete feature where yes. It suggests words as you're typing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is in the few stories that I came across that we really didn't have time enough. But, hey, we're going to cover this one because now we do have time. I thought this show might go long, but it's not. So we have a couple minutes left. This is the iOS autocomplete song.
What? Mm-hmm.
Now, this man just started with one word, like I, at the top, and then he would pick out of the next three choices what the successive words were.
Wait a minute. Now, yes, and you know what? I had a keyboard on my I use Android, and I had a keyboard called SwiftKey installed.
Oh yeah,
and it was very good at the predictive stuff, like you're talking about here. So
this wasn't that good. He just made it into a creative song.
You have to pick the words, but I would make almost it would make complete sentences, but they didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And then I would text them to people.
just because.
Random crap.
Yeah, was that you, Craig? Who are we doing that with?
Me, I was doing it to you.
No, we were doing that to Fuffy Frog when she was drunk at Dragon Con.
Oh, right, and I was just hitting the words.
We were purposely making idiotic sentences right. to drunk people. It's fun.
Very nice.
They were coming back just as equally as, it's like totally incomprehensible.
And she replied with something she made up. And then, so yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. The three net for the after and see what you get back.
Wow. All right then.
It's a great game, but go listen to the autocomplete song. We have several articles. Yes. Articles that we found this week that we just couldn't stuff into this show. Things like MST3K's Joel and Dr. Forrester are teaming up for another project, which if you're a fan, as I am, you'll want to go check that out. They're trying to make a U.S. version of the IT Crowd again.
But
hey, did you see the pilot for the other one?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yes, it was horrible.
But
yeah, it didn't work for me. I'll give this one a shot, but I don't know.
Well, here's what makes it possibly good. The writers from Community are going to be writing it.
Yes, and there's rumor that Richard, however you say his last name.
Iotti?
Is that it?
Iotti, yes.
Yeah. Iotan.
Yeah. Moss.
Moss will reprise his part on that episode again for the third time. And
you know what? Tying that back, wasn't Moss the last name of the guy with the Palpatine figure?
Yes, it was.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh, triple threaded.
Ah.
Ooh. Circle.
Yeah.
That would make a good name for a beer, too. Triple threaded. I have band names and beer names floating around in my head tonight. I don't know why.
Actually, I like that as a band name.
We have several ideas way before the Kindle came out of crazy ideas from the 20s we had for reading machines in the past. Ways you could put entire volumes in just like microfiche style, but you could still read them without microfiche. A microfiche.
Huh. Yes.
Yeah, if you're old enough to remember what a microfiche is. Mm-hmm. And a rifle that shoots playing cards. Sounds like one of those Island of Misfit Toys things, doesn't it?
I got to look at that one.
A squirt gun that shoots jelly. No, you're all familiar with ways you can flick a playing card and fly it through the air. This guy mounted one to a gun and he's shooting like water balloons with it.
This guy, I've seen him make all kinds of like projectile type weapons.
Scary
like
Gary high velocity.
You'll put your eye out.
You'll cut off your arm with that.
Yeah, something like, think of the paper cuts.
Stick your tongue out.
Oh.
Christmas wish list. All right, that takes us to the end of the show. Thank you, Brian, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Hopefully I'll be back again. If I could find my way out of this small padded room that you've put me in, Chuck.
Trapped. Trapped forever. This is the only way we get hosts on the show.
They check in, but they don't check out.
We're still going through interviews, apparently. We haven't had the same person on the show yet I got to Phoenix.
Who is your HR department? Come on, man. I know.
HR. Silly. Yeah, like they're going to talk to you, what, about payroll?
Exactly. Hey, you mean I'm going to get the same pay that I had when I was on Slice? Sweet. Yeah.
We'll double it.
Even better.
Yeah.
With a quarterly bonus.
We'll double it.
That means I'm going to get whiskey then. Scotch, preferably.
Well, we'll talk
about that later.
Terms later. Yes. We haven't signed nothing yet.
Nice talking to you, Brian.
Nice talking to you too, Craig. See ya. Hey, I'm being pushed up.
You can be more of a part of the show than Brian if you like. For 206-222 chat is the number. Call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. If we like your story, we might put it in the show and thank you for it. Or just say, hey, that wasn't a new key. That was in a new register. We're always open to suggestions, something like that. Find us on Facebook and Google Plus and all that other good stuff. You can find all that on the Technorama page at chuckchat.com/Technorama. We would love to hear from you because we know you're out there. The truth is out there. You've got to be out there somewhere too. Find out more at, well, I already said the site, chuckchat.com. I'm not very good at this. It's
proud of it.
10 years. Oh, this is the time of month when we want to thank everybody for your micro donations to the tip jar. Thank you very much to all you people. You make this show go. You didn't buy this house for me, but you at least keep the podcast up and running. And thanks to Mad Marv and everybody else and you for downloading and listening. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, Craig, would you be so kind as to give me that traditional binary high five?
Why, I'll give you a 1, a 0, and a 1.